Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse, and your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Stephanie Blue. And Stephanie is the founder, and I have to say, I'm going to just self-title her the goddess of photography, because I know Stephanie and I've seen her work, and I just want to self-title her that. And I have to tell you that she is the founder and owner of True Blue Portrait Design. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so honored to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor as well.
Thank you. Our topic today is image branding your way to a buzzworthy business. And I have to tell you, I'm excited because I know how much knowledge you have around this. And people who are listening in, they have no idea how much they're about to learn. And I'm so excited for them. So in order for us to get started, I mean, we've all heard the term, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. And we're going to get into what that means and why. But people have to understand your background, because since your childhood, you've loved the camera. I don't know about being in front of it, but I know you've loved it. So I want you to tell us a little bit about that and how that love blossomed. Give us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, I definitely prefer the back of the camera. But I got my first camera. It was a 110 Kodak film camera when I was 10 years old. So that goes back a few generations.
I was going to say, for the millennials who are listening, they're like, film? What's film?
Yeah. So I thought it was the best thing ever. And my dad was retired when I was growing up. So we were able to travel every summer and visit all the relatives in all the different states. And so I was able to see a lot of amazing things. And I had my trusty camera at my side. And so I just fell in love with it. But as an adult, I always wanted to take classes and learn more and take it further. I thought that would be one of the best jobs ever. But I was never able to take, like, the classes and the lab. So it was really about probably 11 years or so ago when my schedule freed up. My son was a teenager, and I was able to slip away for some workshops. And then I took every class and workshop I could till I really knew the camera and I could make it do what I wanted it to do. And then it was 2005 that I started photographing professionally, and then went full time in 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it when you said make the camera do what you want it to do. I know most of us, you know, common folks don't look at it as that kind of a tool. I know that, you know, in my background, when I did real estate and when I was starting out, before I could hire a photographer to go out and take the pictures of the homes, I used to stand there with the camera, and it would take me hours and hours until I got what I called lucky. And then all of a sudden, I'd be like, money shot. I made that little bathroom look huge. Yay, you know. But yeah. It's true. It's like you use that, and you make it do what your vision is. I've seen you. It's amazing. So tell me this, because I happen to know a little secret about you that a lot of people don't know, and that's that your background began in the field of social work and foster care. So tell us about that and how it ties in today to the work that you do in the world of photography and in your business, because there is a connection there, and I think it's really remarkable.
Sure. Well, yes, I do have a degree in psychology, and then I have my master's in social work. And I worked for the County of San Diego, CPS social worker and child welfare. Did that for a number of years, and it was a challenging job for sure. There were obviously some great moments, but there were also some really tough ones. And what I learned is that I do have a really big heart, and I love helping people, and I love seeing people thrive and helping women and kids feel really confident and secure day to day was like super important to me. I like equipping people with skills that can improve their lives. And I think those are some of the key elements that do carry over to my photography. I think it was just a few months into being a photographer and working with the headshot. And, you know, at some point it seemed a little fluffy, light and fluffy compared to some of the more grueling work I had done as a social worker. But when a woman like truly starts to see herself as beautiful, or the way I see her through my eyes, and she sees the camera and she starts having that moment, like, that's not me. And just letting her know, yes, this is you. This is how other people see you. And when she just really absorbs it, it can be super emotional. And then I realize, okay, I still am having an impact. And there is that part of my heart that gets fed when we have moments like that. And let me tell you, sometimes she is crying, sometimes I'm crying, but no matter what, we're both having
fun. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so interesting because I think that I know that I've made the mistake of thinking you offer a very important service. I'm very pragmatic. So I think you offer a big, important service. There's no doubt. I've always thought that. And as a coach, I walk in and I see people and I go, oh my goodness, what kind of a brand do you have, child? What we need to get you to set. And, you know that. And so, you know, I go, gosh, you know, you need this for your business. You need this for results. I never thought about the softer side of what this does for people's self-worth and how you're getting to be part of that process. How powerful. Wow.
It is. It's cathartic for them, and it's super rewarding for me. So.
Wow. Can you give me an idea of, you know, would you say what percentage of time you're getting to see that, you know, transformation? You know, is that a pretty high probability that women are seeing? I'm not saying they're standing there in tears, but when they're going through part of that just kind of realization for themselves?
Well, I think a lot of times when I see women, if it's for business, maybe not quite as deep of an emotional thing, but a lot of times they are rebranding. Sometimes they're starting a new business, and that may be due to a divorce. But usually there's some type of a life change or life transition when I'm invited in. And to help them kind of solidify that is kind of where I notice that, and just having that emotional connection. But I would say probably half of the women come to me saying, I'm just not photogenic. And I say, you'll only say that on the way in. You definitely won't say that on the way out.
You know, I hope that our listeners are really listening to the words you use, because I think the words people use really represent who they are as a person and as a professional. Because you didn't say when I'm hired, you said when I'm invited in. So powerful. Okay, another question. Let's kind of shift a little bit into the business piece of this. So what are some of the most common mistakes that you see professionals are making when it comes to imaging or the branding that they're using in their business? I'm sure that you walk in and you instantly see things and go, oh my goodness, this is what you need help with. So what's most common out there?
Well, we have a couple hours for this question, right?
Unfortunately, no. We've got like 20 minutes. But rapid, quick, like a bunny. Yeah, I know.
I recently published a post on LinkedIn called Why LinkedIn Makes Me Cry. And it talks about just going through some of the images. But I think if I had to narrow it down to just one mistake, I'd say that is people settle. And I see them spend all this time and all this money on their business and their education, their website, and then they're asked to put a photo in, and they're like, it's good enough. And that's where I just cringe. So when people have a bad image, what they're not thinking about is that it's sending a lot of negative messages to potential clients. And there's three primary areas that I've identified. And one is attention to detail, because if you have sloppy photos and maybe you're using a photo from a wedding or from Vegas, or it's a cell phone photo, all those type of things, it shows that you're not really paying attention to detail. You're not even investing in yourself for a clear, good image of you. And then there's the matter of authenticity. And I have a lot of people that I see that are handing out business cards and giving an apology with it. Like, I'm sorry, this was like a while ago. And maybe they were younger or had more hair or they were thinner back then. But when you're talking with clients and then they meet you for the first time and you're not who you've represented, it doesn't show that you're very authentic. And then they wonder what else you could be hiding. And then I think the third main area would be just about keeping current. Technology and social media and every marketing itself, everything changes so quickly these days. And so people are going to wonder, like, well, if you can't even keep up with this trend, are you current on all the other best practices? And are you going to be able to handle their business when you're obviously keeping yourself so dated? So
yes,
there's a lot that goes into it. And my advice is just not to settle.
Not to settle. Such a great one. Wow. And, you know, I know that you obviously work with, you know, human beings, but you do products as well. And I'm amazed at how many people take so much time and pride when what they sell is not a service or themselves, but they sell products. And they take so much painstaking effort to make sure that the product they sell is high quality, aesthetically pleasing, all this. And then when they market the product, they settle, as you put it, when it comes to the pictures and images that they're using to send out to the public. It's remarkable to me.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
It definitely leaves the client with a disconnect.
Yeah. So I know that most of us know in life that you get what you pay for. And I have always been a believer that when you walk to the grocery store, you don't see everybody going up to the checkout with, you know, white, all of their products are white labels with, you know, red stickers. We don't all buy like the cheapest brand out there, or places like Whole Foods would not be in business. I know that not all photographers and photos are created equal. What do you do differently when working with a client that, number one, sets the experience apart, and what makes the outcome of the product better for those bottom line results for people?
Well, I definitely know that the get what you pay for is a very painful lesson. And so there's a few things I do to set myself apart, because I really want to add value to people and give them the, well, one of the things is I do an in-home styling consultation, because when I talk to women, a lot of times they're like, well, I don't really wear jewelry, or I wouldn't even know what to do. But I will actually come in and play in your closet, which is totally fun for me. But I'll pull up different outfits, because I'm going to be looking for different necklines. I'm going to be looking for different cuts of the fabric based on body type and general rules and color and how we can incorporate brand colors in. And sometimes I pick out outfits that they're like, oh, I don't know about that one. And we just put it on. And then they're like, I want to go back to that outfit. That was my favorite. I do understand that. So that's definitely one thing. The other great thing about having all of your outfits pre-selected is the morning of, you're not running around like a crazy person being all super stressed out, because when you're in front of the camera, I want you calm. I want you relaxed. I want you in a really good space, because that's where we're going to make some of the magic.
Yeah.
And, and then I don't rush the photo shoots. You know, you're going to have an hour with me. We're going to have a couple different outfits. Whereas, you know, a lot of the bargain places that you might find out there on Groupon or Yelp, they just kind of have you come in, you sit down, you know, look at the camera, smile, that's it. And that's great for a passport photo, but there is no way that in that short of time, your personality is coming out. And if you're doing branding, you want personality, not just an ID photo. So,
yeah.
And I think the last thing would just be that when I have done the edits, I come back and I've narrowed it down, but then I sit there with you and narrow it down to make the final selection. But we talk about, like, well, this one would be great for LinkedIn. This one has a more authoritative look to it. This shows that you really know your stuff. So this is what you would put on, you know, something where you're speaking. This one's much more friendly and engaging. This is what you would put on your newsletter after they're already a client. So we really talk about the message in the images and narrow that down. And I think that's kind of something that people struggle with if they're not used to doing it.
Okay. And I have to say that was one of the best pieces, because you obviously did my photos. And I thought that was one of the most appealing things about working with you was It wasn't, I wasn't just going to a photographer who took good quality pictures. You understood branding and imaging. You understood that this wasn't just a photo shoot for any purpose. This was specifically for business. And to have the understanding and language around what the purpose was and what I was trying to achieve, these photos weren't going on my wall in my house or being given out to family and friends. This had a purpose around my business. There was an objective here, and I loved that I could speak to that language. It made the world of difference, and I just can't express how much that meant to me. And it really was such a good fit. And I gotta say, every time I hand out a business card, or every time I have to share my headshot for some reason, I get compliments, and it works for everything I need. It's so on point, spot on every time. All right, I want to shift things. So let's talk social media. You are the queen of Pinterest. I am absolutely ignorant when it comes to Pinterest. So I will be the perfect person to interview you this, because everyone's going to learn so much, including me. So let's dive in. First, let me ask you this. First, who's on Pinterest? And as a business owner, what can I expect to gain from using it in my business? And then we'll get into what images and so forth should be on.
Well, women are on Pinterest. They estimate about 60 to 80% of Pinterest users are women. They are generally college educated and have household incomes of 75K or more. And many of them, research is showing they'd rather be on Pinterest than looking at a magazine or even watching television. It's a bit addictive, but they're on there, they're browsing, they're shopping, they want to be inspired, they want to learn how to do or make stuff. They love checklists, they love tips and tricks and inspiration and humor, and basically it's just dreaming of that better future and things that they can do for that. So if you have a product that appeals to women, you need to be on there. Nordstrom has 4.4 million followers on Pinterest because it's kind of a second website for them, because they can click on the image once, they click on it twice, and it gets bigger, and they are over at the shopping cart with what color and how many. And then they're entering their credit card on the third click. So that's easy for retail. But what I tend to focus a lot of my workshops and webinars on is that even people with services can market. You just have to be creative with your graphics, work that in with content that you're creating, and then let Pinterest drive traffic to your site. Some of the research is showing that Pinterest generates more referral traffic to websites than Google+, YouTube, and LinkedIn combined. So once you get them to your site, So once you get them to your site, then it's up to you to convert them as a client. But meanwhile, you're building lists if you have an opt-in and things like that. And that's really what I love focusing people on, because they have the knowledge and they have the expertise. They just need to get people over to their site, and Pinterest is a great tool for that.
I had no idea. Wow. Because I'm back at the Nordstrom example, and I'm thinking, well, Nordstrom can't get them to their website, but they went to their clientele, which is all sitting over here on Pinterest. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, so now I got to ask the difference between Pinterest and Instagram, because I have this, maybe I'm just late to the party, but it seems to me like Instagram is the hottest thing right now. There's a whole wave of people that are no longer on Facebook. They're all on Instagram right now.
Right. Instagram is different. I mean, they're both visually based social media platforms. Pinterest has a much higher bar for the images that you post on there. So think Martha Stewart quality. Instagram is more, well, it was designed anyway to be more like Facebook, but with just images. Like, here's what I'm doing right now. Here's me at this exciting place or this exciting restaurant. I'm about to eat this food. So it's kind of that day in the life, behind the scenes peek into a person's life. So on Instagram, you're allowed to put selfies and amateur things on it. But regardless, the better the image, the more likely it is to be shared.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, but you go ahead. Finish.
Oh, yeah. Pinterest just makes it clickable. And Instagram, you can't click through to anything because, again, Pinterest is driving to sites, whereas Instagram, it's more kind of that social.
But I do need to mention that both of them are starting their beta testing right now to do sponsored ads. So I have no idea how that's going to look 6 months or a year from now.
Oh, goodness. I swear. they got to advertise to us and make us pay for stuff as business owners.
I know.
Okay, but let me ask you the big question, which is where your expertise is. What makes a good image for either of these two social media platforms?
Good images, bright, light and airy, not so dark and twisty, clear, single subject that's in focus, and maybe some blurry background stuff. I have a whole training on it, but having some good graphics, and then obviously with Pinterest, you'd want to incorporate some wording that's going to then make them want to click on it and get over to your site.
Okay. What are some of the types of clients that you work with, and can you give us some examples of how you've worked with them and helped them in their business?
Mm-hmm. I've worked with all types of people. I've worked with people in fashion and financial advisors and personal stylists and chefs and chiropractors, but it seems like I end up working with a lot of authors and speakers and coaches, and they're kind of now stepping up into more of those teaching and leadership roles. So I know with some of the fashion people, when they start wearing the clothes that they're actually selling and they're taking their business more seriously, their sales tend to be higher than the ones who opted out. And that's coming from some of their directors. But just having people, I mean, we had one that said she was at a national conference and she was receiving an award, and she was like, thank goodness I had a good image, because she walked in and there was like a 5-foot banner that they had made with her image on it. So, magazine articles, there's all kinds of things, and it just really helps to have those in your arsenal to say, oh yeah, I do have a good photo that you can use. So,
yeah. Can you tell me, I know that you know, I think a lot of people have a tendency to think, okay, I'm going to be getting a headshot or I'm going to be getting a photo shoot done. And I think that if you haven't done this before in the past, you get very traditional thoughts in your head as to where photo shoots are done. Give us some examples of the different places that you've gone to and done photo shoots for your clients.
Well, I am mobile, and I have portable backdrops I can bring. So I have photographed on location at resorts and parks, downtown cityscapes. It depends on the vibe. If I have a commercial real estate person, I'm going to take them down where there's some cool architecture that I can have in the background. But I can provide a studio look just with the portable backgrounds. But what a lot of people just, they don't quite understand how just an environmental setting, if you're a coach that does one-on-one meetings with a client, having a really nice relaxed home environment is going to put them at ease. And also I recently photographed a home stager, and her home was impeccable. I mean, so much fabulous decor. Like, of course I'm going to photograph her in her own environment, because that's her, and those are her home is decorated to her branding colors. So it was a beautiful shoot. I love that so much.
Yeah. Well, I know you and I share a relationship with a fellow colleague of ours and a Connected Women of Influence member, Tammy Rhimes, who's a speaker and a consultant. And you went up to her winery and ranch, and she overlooks the valley in Ramona, California. I mean, you have a picture of her with her arms overstretched over on a huge rock overlooking the valley in Ramona. It's remarkable. Remarkable. Yes. Weren't you there at like 5 a.m. or something?
Not quite that early, but definitely pre-sunrise. And,
oh my God.
You know, she's a motivational speaker. She has this wide sweeping expanse of a view. And just putting that, it's just kind of that victory pose that everything's right in the world. And that's unique to her business. And it fit. And we also had her with her horse. And then we had her sipping a glass of wine in the tasting room. I mean, opening the doors to the winery for her people in the wine club. It's I try to bring out all facets of their personality that comes out through business, and then that's what we photograph. So highly tailored, and in that one in particular, I was also working in tandem with her graphic designer for her upcoming speaker packet. So really fun,
yeah,
because I get to have more creativity than the traditional headshot that people think of.
Yes, yes, amazing, amazing. And I know that my experiences, you know, again, I don't want people as there as we're talking and we're talking about, you know, you get what you pay for. Your packages are, I think, very reasonable for the quality and the impact that you can make in your business. It's just remarkable. I want to make sure that if people have questions or want to get in touch with you as we wrap up on one or two more questions, what's the best way for people to follow up and get in touch with you? Is it email, phone number, website? Can you share with us that information real quick?
Sure. As far as any headshots and branding, that's at trueblueportrait.com.
Wonderful.
If you're looking for Pinterest information, I do have a free webinar on there that people are welcome to click on, and that is over at truebluevision.com.
And I was going to ask them, do you offer free webinars, podcasts, anything like that, so people can get a taste of what you do? So the webinar is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so the free one is obviously just kind of an overview intro, kind of like we just had a discussion where you're like, I had no idea. That's the eye-opener. And then I have an intermediate one, plus I have the 4-part Pinterest boot camp that's rather intensive, and you get one installment a week for the 4 weeks. And that's
nice.
A great one.
Mm-hmm. Great. So I got to ask real quick, do you think, the most common, what I like to call pressure points that you think most business owners suffer from when it comes to what you do and what you see when you interact with them?
What pressure points as far as where they're at in their business or?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah. I think, again, it's that transition. I'm generally not the photographer for the startup, but I'm the one where now they've gotten established, but they know they need to step it up, or they're not going to be able to stay current and stay competitive. So they have to kind of, to get a little more professional, to kind of have that more commercial edge, because
yeah.
I want people to take themselves seriously. I want them to feel like an expert. And when you have that polished commercial looking photo, then that's when people start saying like, oh, I know her. You know, they see your picture on the book. And they're like, I met her. She's an author. And I want them to have that prestige. And so when they're starting that journey, that's typically where I come in and help with the process.
Yeah. Well, and I know that, you know, at the time in which, you know, you helped me with my branding shots, I was looking around at the other people who were doing what I was doing. And I was saying, wow, look at them. Look at the level at which they're performing in this industry. If I want to be at that level, I need to be able to have marketing materials and impression. If I want to compete with that, I want to play with the big kids' tools in my tool shop. Honestly,
yep.
You know, yeah, I absolutely see it. Steph, you know what? I adore you. I have so much respect for what you do. I believe that you are such a great example of just a professional in the branding and photography and imaging business. I can't thank you enough for being here. I want to say thank you over and over again for being our leading lady today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had a lot.
And I also want to, good, I'm so glad. I hope I was easy on you. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, as we'll be back again next Monday morning for another Women Leading the Way radio show. And we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Mark your calendars and please don't forget. And ironically, our leading lady next week will be Stephanie Blue. She's going to be back again next week on next week's show. However, the topic will be very, very different because Stephanie has another business. And it is True Blue Women. And the topic will be transforming how women change the world. Completely different topic, completely different angle. So you definitely want to check it out. And again, I'm Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse and the host of Sassy Sales and Business Development. I want to thank you for listening. And I want you to all have a great week. Go forth, be productive, and be prosperous. And thank you again from Connected Women of Influence.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.